Okay, our next presenter, Ms. Kristen Litzelman. She is a doctoral student in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Her work centers around the biopsychosocial impacts of stress on health over the life course. She's recently been exploring how caregiving and caregiving-related burden influence the health and the quality of life on both the caregiver and their families, with an emphasis on disparities in health outcomes among caregivers and families. Please join me in welcoming Kristen to the podium.
All right, I have no disclosures to make. First, I'd just like to give you a quick outline of what it is that we're going to be looking at today. So I'll be starting with a brief introduction of the background and what it is that our specific aims are for this project. Next, I'll talk briefly about the methods that we've used and go over the main results of this study. Then we'll have a brief discussion of those results and then talk a little bit about the implications of these and the next steps that we have. There have been improvements in childhood cancer, especially in the treatment and survival of children who have cancer or brain tumors. And this has led to dramatic increases in survival, which in turn has led research to begin to focus on the quality of life of these children and their overall well-being. A major model used for this is health-related quality of life, and the difference between that and what we would look at with physical health is that it does have multiple dimensions. So in addition to physical health outcomes, we're also looking at mental, emotional, and social functioning with health-related quality of life. The relationship between low socioeconomic status and poor child health has been well established. There were some studies in the early 2000s that helped to show this relationship and actually showed that the disparities in child outcomes grow as children age. However, this has not been looked at very well with relation to health-related quality of life. And specifically, when we look at populations of children with cancer or brain tumors, while some studies have included socioeconomic status in their models, there haven't been any studies that explicitly have been looking at whether or not there are SES disparities in health-related quality of life of children with cancer or brain tumors. And more specifically, no study has looked at the role of family functioning or family burden in this relationship. And this is important because family functioning and family burden are modifiable factors. We can do things to improve them. And theory does support their role in a relationship between socioeconomic status and child quality of life outcomes. So the specific aims for this study were to evaluate the relationship between socioeconomic status and child quality of life among families who have children with cancer, and then also families of children without cancer or brain tumors. And secondly, we wanted to evaluate if and to what extent family functioning or family burden mediate the relationship between socioeconomic status and health-related quality of life. This conceptual model will hopefully give a little closer view of what it is that we're looking at here. Primarily, we are looking at socioeconomic status, which is going to be measured by family income and parental education, and its impact on child health-related quality of life as our main outcome. And then secondarily, we'll be looking at the role of family functioning and family burden as family factors in this relationship. We do acknowledge, however, that these relationships are very likely bidirectional. So, we know that there are other relationships that could play in as well. Our sample is collected from a community in Wisconsin, and we collected families of children with cancer or brain tumors from one particular children's hospital in Wisconsin. We also collected healthy children from the broader metropolitan area, and these children were free of cancer, brain tumors, activity limitations, or any sort of chronic condition. And I'll be referring to these as cases and controls just for simplicity throughout the presentation. Specifically, we recruited the children who were between the ages of 2 and 18 and their primary caregiver, which we defined as the parent or the guardian who was most involved in caregiving for the child. Our data was collected from the parents, through an in-person interviewer-assisted survey. The parents reported sociodemographic, psychosocial, and family factors, and they also reported their child's QOL. We also, for the children who had cancer, collected data from the medical record. This was collected by a trained oncologist and focused on factors like how long it had been since the child's diagnosis, what their specific diagnosis was. So our key measures for our outcome variable is, again, health-related quality of life. And to measure this, we used the Pediatric Quality of Life Index. It's also known as the PEDS-QL. The version that we used is meant as a parent report version. And this is a very well-validated measure of child health-related quality of life that collects data on those multiple dimensions that we talked about in the beginning, physical, social, emotional, and in this case also school functioning. Our independent variable is socioeconomic status, which we are specifically measuring using family income. For this analysis, that variable is log transformed to account for skewing in the data. We are also looking at parental education. And our family factors are being included as mediators. Family functioning was measured using the Family Adaptability and Cohesion Evaluation Scale, also known as the FACES version 4. Family burden was evaluated only among the families of children with cancer, and it was evaluated using the Impact on the Family Scale, which evaluates the extent to which the child's illness has affected the family. And that scale does have multiple subscales. The four are financial, social and familial, personal strain, and mastery. In order to analyze these data, we conducted some descriptive analyses for the entire sample and then also for just the cases and just the controls. And we compared the cases and controls using chi-squared and t-statistics. Our next step was to do a multivariate regression, looking at the association between socioeconomic status and child quality of life, controlling for confounders. And as a second step in that model, we added our family factors, the family burden and family functioning measures, to evaluate what impact that had on the relationship that we see between socioeconomic status and child quality of life. And where we saw attenuation, we tested to see whether that was statistically significant using a Sobel test. This table shows the sample characteristics of both the full sample and then also the cases and the controls. The mean income, rather, is over $110,000. That's representative of the community from which the sample is drawn, and we acknowledge that that's a high income for our study to have. Income was higher in the controls than it was in the cases. Family functioning, we also see that the functioning of our control families was higher, which indicates better functioning than what we see in the cases. And the range for that scale in this sample was between 0.6 and 3.6. Family burden, again, was only measured in our cases, and the mean family burden score was 52.2. For this score, a higher score is indicative of higher burden, and the range for that was between 34 and 81 points. And finally, child quality of life. We do see that our controls have a higher quality of life score than our cases, which is indicative of better quality of life in the controls. This chart shows the association, the bivariate association between child quality of life and family income. Family income is on the x-axis and child quality of life on the y-axis. And our red line here shows the cases, while our blue line shows the controls. What we see here is that the association between greater income and better child quality of life is very apparent among the cases, but not so apparent among the controls, indicating that there's potentially an interaction between these factors in our sample. And when we tested that using multivariate regression, we found that that interaction was, in fact, statistically significant. So what we're seeing here is that for controls, when you have a 50% increase in income, what we see is a 0.3 point increase in child quality of life, which is essentially zero. It's not statistically significant. But for controls, we see a 4.3 point increase for a 50% increase in income. So that would be the equivalent of the difference between a family with a $50,000 income and a $75,000 income. Our next step was to evaluate health-related quality of life just among the children with cancer. And again, we see that family income is an important variable in health-related quality of life in these children. And again, just to put that into something that's a little bit more interpretable, when we see a 50% increase in family income, we are seeing something close to a 4-point increase in health-related quality of life in these children. Our next step was to add family functioning and family burden to our model, and we do see that that attenuates the relationship between family income and health-related quality of life, so that it's no longer statistically significant, and so that our regression coefficient decreases quite a lot, which shows us that that is, in fact, a potential mediator of this relationship. The Sobel test confirmed the attenuation, showing that this is statistically significant mediation. And in this model, we also see that family burden is statistically significant, indicating that a 1 standard deviation increase in family burden, which again is worse family burden, is associated with an 8-point decrease in child quality of life. So just to summarize these findings, we did find that greater family income was associated with better health-related quality of life among children with cancer. And this association was partially mediated by family factors, which indicates a potential pathway by which socioeconomic status may influence health-related quality of life in these children. And specifically, it seems that lower-income families may have fewer resources in order to cope with their child's illness, which could be fewer monetary resources. It could be that they have less ability to take time off work. And this may increase the parent's level of stress and burden, the burden for the whole family, which could, in turn, negatively influence the quality of life of the children. There are some potential limitations of this study. The most important one here is that this is a cross-sectional data set. We collected all the information at one time point, and so we are not able to evaluate the temporality of these associations. So our findings should be interpreted with caution until they can be replicated using longitudinal data. We were unable to evaluate other indicators of socioeconomic status, and that includes things like what type of employment the parents are in, and there is a potential for residual confounding in these analyses. However, this is the first study to evaluate the role of family factors in the relationship between socioeconomic status and health-related quality of life among children with cancer. In addition, our study used a continuous measure of income. Other studies have often either dichotomized income or have used a composite measure, and this allows us to get a better sense of really what's going on in that relationship over the full continuum of income. So there are several potential implications that we can find from these data if the findings are confirmed. It does suggest an opportunity for intervention. Family functioning, as I mentioned, and family burden are modifiable. And so by providing additional support, monitoring, and referrals for these families, we may be able to improve their family functioning and hopefully therefore also improve the child's quality of life. This could all be run very, very well through family-centered care, where we're able to monitor not just the children, but also the whole family. And the inclusion of more psychosocial oncology programs and coordination of care may also help to facilitate this sort of intervention. In addition, these findings could indicate that we may need more resources for catastrophic illnesses. As you'll remember, the income for these families was actually quite high, and you know, it could be that they are underinsured, that they're not able to get the resources that they need despite their high income, because they simply don't qualify for the additional resources that they may need. And other policies, such as those supporting the provision of paid time off work, may also help these families to lower their burden and therefore improve the health and well-being for both parents and children. So there are several next steps that are also going to be important in this research. The first is to explore the impact of family factors on socioeconomic disparities in child health-related quality of life in a larger sample. This was a community sample, and looking at this on a national level will help clarify this relationship quite a bit more. In addition, longitudinal work will be crucial to teasing out the real relationships going on here. First, longitudinal work will be able to help us evaluate the bidirectional relationships that we might see between these factors. In addition, it will help us to look a little bit more closely at the relationship between childhood cancer and diagnosis of cancer and how that impacts the family's ability to work and their subsequent socioeconomic status. And finally, being able to develop and test interventions that reduce family burden and improve family functioning will be important to help us evaluate the impact of what these interventions may have on both children and their families. So I'd like to thank our funding sources, the National Institute of Health, Child Health and Human Development, the University of Wisconsin Carbone Cancer Center, and the University of Wisconsin Care for Kids Foundation. I'd also very much like to thank my co-investigators, and also the families who participated in this study, and the staff and clinicians who made this study happen. Thank you.